Good morning. It is Sunday, March the 10th, and we are beginning a transition from our Text for the Year series into our Easter series. And one of the things that struck me was how the two really do merge together really, really well. When we think of our Text for the Year, we've seen a number of things about this passage that have critical points to be made. In Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19, we saw that the prophet Isaiah was telling the people to forget the former things, to not dwell on the past, that there was a new thing that God was wanting to do. And this new thing would open a way in the wilderness, and there would be streams in the wasteland. And we looked at a number of different aspects about those critical points in our text for the year. And one of the things that we saw had to do with the wilderness. We saw that the wilderness was a place where no one lived. It was a place where it was very isolated. Aesthetics, those who were wanting to leave the world behind would often develop communities in the wilderness where people of like mind could go to pull away from society and could be by themselves. And there was this thought that if they could do that, then they would be better equipped, better able to meet with God. The wilderness was a place where people would seek God out. And the idea was that everything of the world could be left behind and you could meet with God there. You know, it's interesting that the wilderness would be viewed in that way because it was a place no one wanted to go, but it was a place that ultimately was a good place to go if you wanted to seek God there. Now, when it came to looking at how the passage pointed us to the way of Christ, one of the things that we see is that Isaiah was identifying that this new thing that God was going to do would create a way in the wilderness, a way for God's people to find him. And, you know, there's a powerful, powerful message that begins to take shape when you realize that Christ created that way in the wilderness. He created that way for people to connect with God. Jesus himself spent a lot of time in the wilderness. He went there to, again, get away from people so that he could pray. He went there and ultimately was tempted by Satan for 40 days in the wilderness. It was a place where he would go to collect his thoughts, to pray, to seek God's face in the midst of trying times in ministry. He would go there to get away from the crowds. And it's interesting then when we consider the cross as to not only what it accomplished, but what Christ endured while he was there. What I mean is this. So Christ knew the wilderness with respect to isolation. He knew what it was to be by himself. But that aspect of being by himself was never going to be more tested than it was when Christ was on the cross. How do we know this? Well, one of the things that has become very clear in looking at Christ's execution on the cross of Calvary was that in the midst of being on the cross, Christ spoke something of his character and something of who he was in the words that he spoke while he was on the cross. There's some distinctive things that we have come to associate with Christ's time, those hours that he spent hanging on the cross of Calvary. We see some of these. In John, we see him speaking to his mother Mary, who we could see standing at the foot of the cross. And he looked at his mother, and knowing that Mary would need someone to care for him, he spoke to the disciple John, and he said, "John, here's your mom. Mom, this is your son." And in that way, he was establishing that John should take care of his mother after he had passed away, after he had died on the cross. Jesus speaks to the thief on the cross. You know, in the midst of his own personal agony, Jesus took that moment to speak to the other who was on the cross. There were two on either side of him. And he spoke to the one who, you know, reached out to him and said, you know, when you enter into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. Incredible. On the cross, Jesus spoke of his thirst. He spoke of the task that he was doing as being finished. But there is a phrase that was spoken from the cross that has come to really powerfully speak to the agony that Christ was experiencing when he was enduring the cross of Calvary. It's recorded in both Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark. And in Matthew, we see this. In Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 39, we read the following. So just going to turn to that. Matthew chapter 27, and beginning at verse 39. So as you can appreciate, it was a bit of a spectacle at the cross. And there were people passing by. And some of them were downright awful in terms of what they spoke and what they threw at Jesus in terms of insults. It says in verse 39, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, the elders, mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Wow. And you know, in that, Jesus is recounting words from Psalm 22. There are words that he spoke. There are words that the chief priests spoke that are recorded in Psalm 22 by David 1,000 years earlier. And one of those expressions is what we get to next. In Matthew chapter 46, it says, about 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice in Aramaic, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus was speaking in Aramaic, he was using the common language of the day. The people around him typically would have spoke Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic. And in speaking in Aramaic, he was using the common language of the people of Israel. And he's, you know, putting it out there. And some of those who were gathered there didn't understand what it was that he was saying. But the depth of it is profound. What Jesus was saying was that in that moment, he felt fully forsaken by God. And, you know, we can't overstate, we can't even come close to capturing what was going on in that moment. You've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. And in the midst of it, you've got this moment where all the sins of the world are laid upon Christ, and that curse separated him from God. God can't look at sin. And, you know, when he was paying the price for our sins, that put him in a place where God could not view him in that condition. He's paying the price for our sins, but ultimately that separated him from God the Father. And So in that moment, in the throes of the agony of what he was experiencing, he cries out from the depths of his being, and he expresses something that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in his very essence, who was now human in the flesh, was experiencing something that put him in a place where he had never known this before. For eternal existence, prior to that point, he had never known separation from God. That is the effect our sins had on him. This continuous stream of relationship from eternity past is severed in that moment. And Christ knows the agony of being separated. That holy Trinity is broken in that moment. That is mind-boggling to take in. He's paying the price for our sins. It's laid on him, and the curse of it is just so profoundly, profoundly felt. And he is separated from God. The isolation of that wilderness was so deep, we could never even begin to appreciate it. You know, when we think of isolation as we experience it, it might be for any number of reasons. You know, it might be despair, you know, a moment where you just feel like it's just you and nobody else could possibly know what you're going through. There's the, you know, the feelings of being a failure, the feelings of that accompany mental illness or a broken relationship, fear, loss, sin. All of those kinds of things can make us feel powerfully alone. But consider that Christ was feeling all of that times the multiple of all of humans who had existed and would exist. All of their sin, everything that they had felt in terms of the separation that it put them in, that isolation that it placed them in as their sin and the reality of it separated them from God. That's what Christ was experiencing. So that heart cry, that soul cry of Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, was this gut-wrenching expression capturing the weight and the separation that Christ was experiencing on the cross. You know, it's a sobering thought, and yet the victory that was won in that moment, you know, the wilderness that Christ went into on the cross, where he paid that price and endured that kind of isolation from the Father, the thing that it accomplished was the way through that. He endured the ultimate separation from God so that we could experience the reunification of ourselves with God. You know, there is a loss for words that we have to experience when we begin to wrestle through and to work through what it was that Christ accomplished when he created this way through the wilderness. The way through the wilderness that sin had created for us. This separation that we experience, having a divide that's made then, where we can walk through that wilderness and find the Father waiting for us. You know, there's so many images that come to mind. The picture of the prodigal son coming back to the Father, you know, and this open arm acceptance of God for the sinner, the prodigal that we all are. And the only way that that could happen was for Christ to endure what all of us collectively have experienced with our sin. And he creates that way for us to walk upon it and to find the Father waiting for us. You know, this is just a glimpse of what we're going to be diving into with our series as we look at our text for the year and Easter coming together. But the thing I want us to grasp in this is that the way that Christ opened up through the wilderness was by what he experienced on the cross, what he did on the cross. That's what paved the way through the isolation and the separation of our wilderness from God. Let's pray. Father, it's a profound thing. And to be in a position where we're trying to articulate what that looks like is just beyond words. The depth of that cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is beyond imagining. Lord, in a measure, in just a measure, we know our own sin, but it's nothing compared to the multiple billions of humans that have lived and have fallen into the depths of sin. And that was laid on Christ. Father, help us to, in some way, just even begin to grasp what it cost and what it looked like to make this way through the wilderness. Father, thank you for what Christ has done. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen. As we celebrate Easter, there's a number of events that we would love to invite you to. On Palm Sunday, March the 24th, we're going to be celebrating with palm branches, and our worship time will be marked by that. On Easter Sunday, we're going to celebrate, the wonder of Christ's resurrection. If the depth of the cross on Good Friday was as bad as what we've, been trying to dig to the depths to, if that's what it was for Christ to experience that, then the joy of the resurrection is over the moon. It's incredible. And this is what we're inviting you to celebrate with us. 10 a.m. on Easter Sunday, March 31st. God bless you.